One of my favorite ways to wake people up is to abruptly flip on the lights and loudly and cheerfully sing, "Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory." Yeah, thanks. If only I'd sounded that good when I woke them up. Thanks, choir. Maybe you know that song. You know, there's a part about Noah and the Arky. Okay, well, anyway. I love turning on the lights, opening the curtains, and letting all the light beam in. But I have to tell you, my teenage friends don't care for that. My children don't care for that. My husband doesn't care for that. It's not very welcome, but today we're going to talk about welcomed light and mountaintops. Mountaintops. I just got back from Montreat. Montreat. It's a quiet community snuggled in the North Carolina mountains. It's a place where you hammock under trees, play and splash in the creek. Even when you're 40, read a book on the porch in a rocking chair, breathing the light mountain air. A place where the internet is unreliable, so digital connections decrease, but a place that you instantly feel at home. It was a quick trip. And this time I was only there for less than 48 hours. I was there for a board trip. I was a liaison for the Arts, Recreation, and Worship Conference, and they were having a planning meeting. And the whole time I was in meetings. But even then, there was a sense of awe as we drove through the stone Montreat Gate, the arches that welcome you into that place. It's a place that gathers friends old and new. It's a thin place for many, where they experience the external world and the earthly world at the same time. Peter, James, and John experienced a mysterious transfiguration. As they saw with the Old Testament prophets that appeared in this thin place on the mountain. Sometimes it's a metaphorical mountain, calling us to clear our mental space to be able to attentively open and listen for God. The call to ask, how might we be called away from our normal places and task to see Jesus transfigured, divine identity, and listen to him. And as I reflected, I realized maybe we don't want to be. Maybe we drown it out with the many tasks and worldly noises because we're afraid. We're afraid to hear. Or maybe Marianne Williamson says it in a well-known poem. Listen to what she says. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I love that poem. It made me think of our 8th and 9th graders. Our confirmation class showed up, climbed a mountain as they wrestled with Christian and interfaith questions. They wrestled and articulated and wrote and read their statements of faith aloud. Confirmands and families, mentors, teachers, and Miss Jeannie were called to the confirmation journey, called to experience this mysterious transfiguration as evidence in the stories that they tell. They, you, me, we, are all called to this moment to see. These are the moments of transfiguration. Each one is different and unrepeatable, but they are somehow the same and radiant. Their light of God's presence is there. There are moments of pure grace. In that moment, everything is included and belongs in that thin place. We experience the heaven and earth, the divinity and the humanity, time and eternity. And while we can't make those moments happen, it's an extraordinary gift to be a witness. Jesus appeared as the same person to the disciples, but he was somehow different. The disciples had their eyes open to a new reality. Jesus didn't change and become something new. The disciples did. They saw and heard something different. They saw the world transfigured and capable of revealing the beauty of God's holiness. Transfiguration is not about what we see. It's about how we see. So I recently watched the older Lion King. I watched the new one. You know, we're doing the musical. I had to watch the old one. And as I watched the older Lion King, I watched Rafiki take Simba, his friend, who was struggling to find himself. And he took him to a place where the sky opened and the light shone through, reflecting off of his glassy eyes. His father's deep voice came down from the sky and told Simba that Simba had forgotten who he was. And therefore, forgetting who his father was. Simba was awestruck. He had walked a hard road. The father's deep, loving voice told Simba that he needs to remember that he belongs. And he basically needed to act like it. The deep voice continues from the sky, affirming Simba as his child, and says, "Remember who you are. You are my son. Remember who you are." Earlier in Matthew's gospel, God says of Jesus at his baptism, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And here, on this Transfiguration Sunday, God announces from the cloud, "This is my son, the beloved, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." See, the challenge for the disciples and for us is that when we walk down the mountain, we live in a way that reflects that our vision has been changed because we are God's children, God's beloved, and God is pleased. We are called to live in community, but not in fear, but with Christ's great light shone through us. Friends, you are a child of God, and God is pleased. Amen.